The apostles said, increase our faith. It's not really something Jesus can do. Jesus can increase their faith. Faith comes over time, over relationships, over living through the ups and the downs of our lives, continuing to move forward. Jesus can't just do that for them. It's kind of a little cop-out. Then he gives them some really obscure parables to punish them, to help them try to sort through. But Jesus couldn't just do it. They wanted Jesus to just increase their faith. A relationship with God comes and grows through not only our worship and our continuing to show up here and with other people. It can't really grow without that interaction. I just came back from my 12th diocesan convention of the diocese. A little different than in the past because it's the first time we've had a convention without a sitting bishop. And so it had a different feel. There were certainly some hiccups here and there, as to be expected, and that's fine because we roll with the punches. But what was consistent was the relationships that are being built throughout the entire diocese. Over 12 years, I've really watched those relationships grow and what can happen within those relationships. I had a lot of conversations this time, more so than normal. It kind of interesting for me, but it does show about connection and relationship and how it does take time to develop over 12 years. I had a lot of folks share things with me, some that I've been following over the years and we've had lots of discussion about, and others that were new, and even new people who I wouldn't have expected some things to be shared with me. They were lamenting, and they needed a safe place to lament. I heard things about grieving the loss of a marriage that was unfolding and the expectations of it being together in that relationship. I experienced lamenting of a parent whose toddler had been diagnosed with a life-changing diagnosis, and so the parent was really learning to cope and trying to grieve of letting go with what expectations and hopes and dreams they had for their child. Now they have to see things differently and work through that shock and that pain and that happens when unexpected diagnoses show up. I heard lamenting about the confusion of low church attendance in a time where we need to be here. We need to consistently be fed and to be strengthened by the goodness that we receive here because we're not hearing it out in the world. I heard of someone who was lamenting having to move out of the state because their rent had jumped so high that they couldn't stay here anymore. All these were coming in at different times and out in the hallways or in breaks, but they kept coming. One whose business owner talked about his concern about the business during these economic uncertainties. One who is grieving of living and staying in relationship with a longtime friend who has dementia, yet feeling helpless. All of these things we experience right here in our community and in our relationships outside this community, but here I'm experiencing them throughout the diocese. I'm knowing that we're not just a parish. We are something greater than just ourselves. I heard over and over again, actually, both with clergy meeting and other things, of the anxieties of just the state of world affairs, just everywhere they turn. It's how even the bishop talked about, well, how do we as leaders stay calm and focused when we too have the same anxieties, right? And so we're all connected. And how do we not become negative and jaded? Now, all those relationships weren't negative lamenting. There was positive too, and it was great. And sometimes it was even in the same conversations. And that's where faith slides in. Some of those good things that I heard were about having or getting, really in this case, getting to move into a new state for a new job and such excitement in that. About a grandchild who had been ill and even close to death, and I had known that over the years, has now started college, and the joy of having them share that with me. There was an engagement after 10 years of a divorce that they thought they never would have a relationship again, and the joy that they shared with me in that. But I heard about stuff that's going on in parishes too, new ministries, stuff out in the world. I heard about a new parking lot. I was nice to them. I'd love to have one of those. I feel a little jealous, you know, of those things. But there was also of new folks moving into smaller towns and smaller churches. One in particular was a music professor and brought with her a pipe organ that they'd had in the house. And the church didn't have one. And she's now teaching pianists how to play organ there at the church. And not taking over the music program, but working with their current musician who doesn't play organ. They had a piano. And the joy that is actually bringing to them, being able to share the gifts. There was also stuff that I have no idea what it means, but I was asked to be a messenger from someone who lives in Las Vegas for me, because they knew I would see this person who lives up here in the north. For me, when I saw them, to give them 5 hugs. It had to be 5. And they said, they will know what it means. And to me, that's about a relationship that spans across the state that says hope. Whatever that means, it was hopeful for them in their relationship. Today we get a little snippet of Lamentations. And Lamentations is filled with this lament and this dash of hope. That little opening line that we get in there kind of refresh or kind of restates, sums up a little bit of the whole lament aspect, because it says, the thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. These are the words of a survivor from the Babylonians coming in and destroying the temple. This was one who actually did not get taken into exile. This is someone whose life was right there and it destroyed and had to continue to live right there where their life was turned upside down and the emotions that would go with that, right? And so here this survivor is lamenting. In his laments, he talks about lamenting to the political and religious establishment because the prophets told them what was going to happen, warned them what was going to happen. But they didn't listen because that's not going to happen to us. Here was a survivor lamenting this pain. Life is horrible. It's unimaginable what's happened, all the confusion that's going on. And then he says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Therefore I have faith. Faith isn't about certainty. It's about hope. And he says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never end. No matter how harsh this, actually, and they believe it was multiple writers in Lamentations because it was five poems. And so, but I'll just refer to the one. This writer, with all that's going on, his faith is still allowing them to focus on their faith and their hope. But it has to be, for him, it is renewed every morning. So it's like get up each day, right? Let's start over. It's not, oh, it's all going to be good, because then there's some more lamenting that comes in a minute, right? We live in these circles of pain and suffering, but we know the truth, and we know about God's love for us and us being able to grasp that and hold on to that, and then life comes back around again. So our writer has to renew this every morning, but great is your faithfulness. Get up and to do it again. The Lord is good to those who wait. We're not very patient people. But it also says that the soul that is for the soul that seeks him, which means we have to keep our eyes open in the relationships that God brings to us. We have to continue to stay engaged with those relationships. The psalmist, again, I made the 9 o'clock hear the psalm today because they needed to hear it. We all need to hear it because the psalmist is just like our writer of Lamentations, is that commentator that is seeing what's going on in the world, but being the voice of God and being the voice of hope in relationship. Do not fret yourself. Multiple times in here. Do not fret yourself. Again, too, same time period, in reaction to all this exile and destruction that's going on, and they're watching those who were rewarded for not following the law. That's got to be a struggle for them, because you didn't follow the law. They should have been just the opposite. They should have gotten the bad things, not those faithful people who were hauled off to exile, right? And so this psalmist is relaying to God the same type of pain and suffering. But the psalmist, just like the writer of Lamentations, tells us to trust in the Lord. But not only trust in the Lord, but we have to respond. We have to do good, the psalmist tells us. We have to commit ourselves. We have to trust in God. Because when we don't commit ourselves and trust, then we fall into what is so easily happening these days, is we're turning into people that we're not really. We're forgetting our values. Because we're engaging into anger and rage and things that we just can't imagine are happening, and then we're turning into that we don't want to be as people. The psalmist says, delight in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord and put your trust in him. Let what happens to those evildoers happen to those evildoers. Don't become one yourself. Because we all have darkness and uncertainties in our lives. We all have them. We all have things that cause us stress, that bring us anxiety. If we can at least attempt to stay in relationship with God, like they call us to right here today, and relationship with each other, that we can continue to grow in our knowledge and grow in our faith over time. Jesus can't do it for us, but it's through that example and through the struggles of the early church that we follow. Continue to grow and to remember that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases and his mercies never come to an end. Amen.